This is Seismic Sessions, enabling the financial services industry, a podcast show dedicated to two things, revenue enablement and the financial services sector. Join us as we feature experts and leaders across the financial services industry who discuss innovative and impactful ways to sell, market and deliver memorable client experiences through enablement. Let's get this Seismic session started. Welcome to the Seismic Sessions podcast, where we explore how financial services leaders are driving innovation and enhancing the advisor experience. I'm Gemma Livermore, Head of FS International Marketing at Seismic. And joining me here, as always, is my colleague Rachel Rowe, RVP of Global Strategic Accounts. Today, we're diving into seismic shifts shaping the future of enablement in financial services, from its early days to what comes next. And joining us today, we've got two brilliant guests. Jalpa, if I can hand over to you for an introduction.
Hi, I'm Jalpa Pat. I am Director of Marketing Technology at Janus Henderson Investors. I'm glad to be here and talking about exciting topic.
Thank you for joining us. And Deepika, if you could introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I am Deepika Sehgal. I work for Capital Group, where I focus on go-to-market strategy, product innovation, and enablement transformation within the financial services sector. My work is all about making things easier and more personalized, helping firms connect sales, marketing, and compliance teams so that they can work together smoothly. I'm very passionate about making enablement stronger, helping advisors engage better with clients, get trained faster, and drive better business results. I'm really excited to be here today to share my thoughts on how enablement has changed over time and where it is going next.
Wonderful. I look forward to digging into that a bit more as we open up the conversation. For those of you that listen regularly, you'll know that we start every session with the question, what does enabling financial services mean to you? So Jalpa, if I could come to you first.
Sure. So in my role of marketing technology, empowering sales and marketing teams with effective tools and resources that could be around training, that could be around sales pitches, content creation, talk about anything, there's lots there. I see myself as more of a mediator between business and tech, always looking to align business needs and tech advancements that makes us move faster. As you know, technology is moving faster than the industry is. So that's where enablement plays a huge role.
Amazing. And Deepika, what does it mean to you?
I totally agree to what Jalpa said. And to me also, enabling financial services is all about empowering the people at the heart of industry, be it advisor, client-facing teams, and support function with the right tools, insights, and content exactly when they need them. So in a space as complex and regulated as financial services, enablement means helping advisor cut through the noise. They are expected to stay up to speed on evolving product, shifting market condition, and increasingly personalized client need, all while staying compliant. That's a lot to carry. So real enablement steps in to simplify that complexity. It reduces manual work, breaks silos, and helps advisors spend less time searching for the right content and more time actually building meaningful relationship with the clients. And it also goes beyond tools and templates. It's about creating an entire ecosystem that works behind the scene to support them, where onboarding is smooth, learning is ongoing, and insights flow naturally into their day-to-day conversations. And when done right, it shows. Advisors feel more confident, clients feel more understood, firms build more trust, grow asset, and retain their talent. So enablement is just not the support function. It becomes a strategic driver of business outcomes and a key differentiator in competitive and fast-changing market.
Well, these are two really interesting perspectives, Gemma. I'm looking forward to digging into this in our conversation today. I think if we move to the tremors, and for those of you who know, we tried to stay true to the seismic terminology. So if we kind of begin where we see enablement starting, if I go to you first, Jalpa, just picking up on some of the things that you said in your initial comment, we're really looking now at where the movement began with regards to enablement. So where did the term enablement start gaining traction in financial services? And why do you think there was a need to reframe traditional sales and marketing support under this new umbrella?
Quite interesting, because when I look back several years within the asset management industry, been around here for several years, I've seen the shift happen quite gradually in the beginning, but it's taken up a lot in the last few years, mainly around, so Deepika mentioned a few things like we are very highly regulated industry. And then what we are seeing in the last several years, there is a lot of advancement in the technology that asset management industry is using. Sales and marketing, if you talk about very historically, traditionally, very focused on their key skills around selling and around marketing. And then suddenly we move into the digital world. I mean, likes of pandemic did not help. It completely overnight moved people more to the digital world. And there is more need for different teams to work in collaboration rather than silos. We are being bombarded with new technology in the market every day. You want to send emails. There are so many different tools out there that could use to send emails. You want to create content. There are lots of tools. AI makes it even kind of more enabler and challenger, because the more you give it to the sales team, the more there is like, okay, I'm just a salesperson. I just want to sell. Don't give me all these different tools. How do I work with these? And that's where the enablement kind of really comes in place, because it bridges that gap of what business wants to do, what technology can do to enable these users in terms of whether it's training, whether it's kind of giving more personalized experience, whether it's meeting all the compliance needs around content production, around regulations, around distribution of the content. It enable plays a huge role because it helps salespeople do their jobs properly by saying, okay, this is how you do it. This is where you go. And these are the tools that could help you do that. So that's what I've seen happening in the past probably 5 years. I've seen it more and more of the rise of the enablement program within every company.
I loved the bit where you said that the sales team said, we don't need more technology. And you're so right. It's funny, isn't it? Because in the past, there was a thought that to add to your technology stack added to their workload. And that is what's been really interesting for me with enablement, is it's taking away from their workload and enabling people to do more with less. How did you overcome that issue with the salespeople? How did you convince them that it was going to help them?
Quite interesting. So this is what I believed, and I'm going to take it back to the days where we were upgrading our Salesforce to Salesforce Lightning from Classic. And I needed people to adopt it, because with every new technology, adoption is quite key. And you have got traditional salespeople who are too busy writing their notes in their diaries. And then you have these young salespeople coming in the team who want to do everything in the digital world, where I felt I could really make a huge change in terms of the enablement was honing into these early adopters of the system, listening to the challenges of the people who do not like technology, but also listening to these people who really want to adopt the system. And how do you bridge the two? You get one person to learn from the other. See, if you use the technology, this is what you get. And I think that played a key role of using early adopters, using training programs and more personalized. So if it's a traditional salesperson who doesn't like using technology, you have to give him the benefit of, this is what our key phrase was, what's in it for me? If you tell a salesperson what's in it for them to use the technology, that's what helps enabling them to use the technology.
Absolutely. And Deepika, if we come to you now, from your go-to-market and product strategy perspective, what market forces or organizational pain points led to the formation of enablement as a discipline?
So when I think about how enablement really started taking shape into financial services, it feels like the result of several waves hitting at once. So the first and foremost was advisors were suddenly facing a flood of complex financial products. From traditional offering to newer areas like ESG and digital assets, it became nearly impossible for them to keep up and let alone feel confident speaking to clients about it all. And at the same time, they were also stuck using manual processes and just couldn't keep the pace. They needed real-time insights and smarter tools to help them focus more on clients and less on admin work. Then there was also the growing pressure around compliance. Every client interaction had to be perfectly aligned with the legal and marketing, and that created a clear need for better coordination across teams. And when you add in high advisor turnover, firms started to see the cracks. Onboarding was inconsistent, ongoing training was lacking, and knowledge was not being transferred effectively. all of this made one thing very clear. Enablement couldn't be afterthought anymore. It had to become a real strategy, one that is structured, scalable, and deeply woven into how firm supports their advisor and build trust with the clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, we hear that word trust so often in our conversations, because obviously that is a key currency within financial services. And it applies as much, I would say, within the organization as it does the customer or the client base. Would you agree with that? Let me give that one to Deepika.
Yes, definitely. Trust is the key. Providing the right content at the right time and then being compliant at every time is definitely the trust factors that we are looking for. And it's the most important part for any organization.
I've seen that in marketing as well. Trust is what you have to build up from the very beginning these days, because when you're giving advice, it's trust that people buy into, and particularly with people rather than just organizations as well, which is why enablement's so good at enabling the people within the organization. And I think that takes us really nicely to the epicenter. And this is where we start to look at the current state of enablement. So how it stands now. Rachel, over to you.
Thank you, Gemma. And I think Deepika as well, building on what we just talked about in our first little segment there, let's talk about where we are now. So what does modern enablement look like today inside financial institutions? Are firms getting it right, in your opinion, Deepika?
So today, modern enablement inside financial institutions is much more cross-functional than ever before. It brings together sales, marketing, compliance, and technology teams to create a unified advisor and client experience. And nowadays, there is a stronger focus on measurable outcomes like AUM growth, client retention, and delivering personalization at scale. However, while the intention is there, many organizations are still struggling to fully realize the benefits. As highlighted in Seismic Enablement Report, a lot of firms still lack a formal, structured enablement strategy. Technology investments have been made, but true adoption and seamless integration into daily workflows remain major barriers. In many cases, marketing is still operating reactively, responding to the custom content request or supporting manual work streams rather than proactively driving enablement forward. So while progress is definitely happening, there's still a significant opportunity for firms to operationalize enablement more strategically and embed it deeper into the advisor ecosystem.
Deepika, that's really interesting. And I'd love to turn it to you now, Rachel, because we work closer than ever before as sales and marketing. How do you feel that enablement looks as it is now in the epicenter?
Yes, I think that lots of firms understand the importance of breaking down silos within the organization and really galvanizing around the client. There's a big focus on providing a best-in-class client experience. And that's really where competitive advantage lies in many ways within financial services, because there is so much pressure on fees and there is such a strong regulatory framework around the industry. And I think part of the challenge in achieving that is breaking down silos within the organization, making sure that there are virtuous feedback loops taking place within the business so that you can understand what is resonating with clients, what efforts are producing most impact for the organization. And I think that's where enablement has a really strong role to play. And we've come strides, I would say, over the last 5 years or so in terms of being able to demonstrate the ROI of enablement to industry. And I think that that will only strengthen as this kind of competitive battle commences.
Absolutely. And Jalpa, if we turn to you, what do you think are the most urgent gaps or inefficiencies that you're seeing in enablement today? And where do you think the firms should start to focus next?
I would say, listening to what Deepika was saying, I could relate to a lot of the things that she said. And even Rachel, to your point, there are definitely silos still there. Over the last few years, there has been a lot of progress in the enablement strategy that the firms have started to recognize the need for enablement, the benefit for having the enablement strategy and an enablement program. However, I believe that the amount of prioritization or focus on enablement is not there yet. There are leaders who are leading it. However, there is still, I believe, we have a long way to go to not only kill the silos in terms of the operating model of different functions that they have, but also the strategic prioritization of where the different teams are heading towards. Like sales would have their strategic priority and roadmap for what they want to do from the sales perspective. We still see with CMOs, marketing heads, they want to move on in their marketing roadmaps. Same as with technology. I believe those silos are still there. Enablement is trying to bridge that gap or trying to align all of them. But in my experience, we're not there yet. And it doesn't help that we bombard sales team with lots of technologies. So there are a lot of enabling technologies out there for sales and marketing, whether it's content production or whether it is marketing tools. In our firm itself, we have lots of different tools you could use to send an email, lots of different tools you could use to talk to your client, lots of different tools you could use for producing the content. However, we are not there yet in terms of how do we align all of that together? How do we have integrated solutions where what our client is doing in one place and what our sales is doing in the other place, it aligns with what marketing is trying to do in the central. I think we still have gaps there.
That's really interesting insight. I'd be curious as well, Gemma, just to throw the question on to you, in terms of how you're experiencing enablement within marketing.
Yeah, I started my career in sales, so I find enablement so interesting because it ties the two areas that I know best together. And that's something that I always found odd in the past, is that they didn't work together and that they were in silos. So to me, enablement makes perfect sense. But I do agree with Jalpa. I think there are still some silos that we do need to break down. But what I find really interesting is that technology gives us a way of tracking what is and isn't working. And then you've got numbers to proof point to people why it's more important to work together. So I really feel like the more data that we gather and the more feedback loops that we have, the more we're breaking down those silos and showing that teamwork works best. And I really do think that, you know, if you look at any type of teamwork or you look at team sport where people play together and they, you know, pass the ball to one another, that's where you get the most impact. And that's what I can see starting to happen technology and with enablement tools between sales and marketing. And as I say, you know, the more data we have, I think that's just going to push forward. And I imagine over time, I know we've not in the forward thinking part yet, Rachel, I'm going off piste a little, but I believe that in the future, sales and marketing won't be two divisions, that they will come together as one division, particularly where you've got this parity of knowledge now from the buyer. You know, with the dawn of the internet, they can go and find out a lot more about a product before they buy it. And so marketing's role is really that first part of the sales cycle, is educating them so that they can find out about the product. So by the time they're speaking to a sales advisor, they're not necessarily looking for the sort of advice they were in the past. It's more now about advice on how to move forward with the decision they've made based on what they've educated themselves on. So I think in the future, we won't have sales and marketing separate.
Yes, and that's something you and I have talked about quite a lot as well, anecdotally. I think there's a lot of strength in bringing those two organisations much closer together.
Yeah, I believe so.
I agree what you said there, Gemma. Data, I think it plays quite a key role because that really helps in defining and moving forward the strategy of enablement. The more data you're collecting, the more it helps prove the picture to bring the sales and marketing teams together.
Yeah, really agree with that. Are there any particular data points that you're collecting, Jalpa, that helps you in that mission? Or
we do. And I think that's what I was also referring to in terms of the different technologies that we have. We would use Seismic to collect all the information around content usage. Now, at one point, that really works for marketing because then the content producers are able to analyze those engagement on different contents and they can then move their content strategy based on the content usages. However, we are not taking that a step forward in terms of sales utilizing that content usage to drive their conversation forward with their clients. I think that's still sitting siloed, especially in my organization currently. And it's not that we don't have tools. We have tools. We have tools like Seismic. We have Salesforce. We have email marketing. However, I think we are not bridging that gap between the silos tools, not integrating them, or not using the data in the right format.
Yeah, and you're not alone there. I think it's just the stage of the journey that we're all at as an industry. But what's interesting is I think we're all heading in the same direction, and that's interesting where we can see it will go. But this takes us really nicely to the next part, which is always my favourite side of the podcast. And we call it the aftershock. So it's really where we look at our future visions and have an idea of what we think will work well in the future. And, you know, everyone always talks about what we do differently now and how successful that is. But I think it's also good to look at what's working well and what to keep. So at this point, I'd love to turn it to you, Jalpa, and just ask, what do you think the future of enablement will look like? And what would you like to keep that we have now? And what would you like to change to make things better in the future?
I'd start with what is working well, I guess. I think you're right. We are, and if I talk about our journey in terms of the enablement, where we are currently, we are on the upwards ride, but we are at the place where we need to probably stop and think, how do we accelerate this enablement strategy forward? There is lots of, obviously, we wouldn't have this conversation without mentioning AI in some form.
Yeah, the A word always comes in this bit.
Absolutely. But I think where we are, we stopping to think. There is lots of AI solutions out there. Every product, every technology in the market is having their own sort of AI solution. We need to kind of think, how do we use AI in the way that it becomes more enabler rather than another technology to add to the stack and overwhelm our users with more data? I feel the future of enablement, that's where the key role is. We determine how to use the current technologies that we have and how do we optimize those? How do we integrate those? How do we layer AI on the top to really become truly enabling for all our sales and marketing folks to drive the revenue, to drive the sales? And like you said, what is most crucial for our sales teams today is the best client experience. Because that's what drives the growth.
Absolutely. And I'd be interested, Deepika, on your thoughts around some of the points that Jalpa's raised there. Because how do you see enablement evolving in financial services? I mean, do you agree with Jalpa's points? What kind of shifts do you think will define the next chapter?
I totally agree with what Jalpa said. So I also believe that we are edge of the major evolution in the enablement. And over to the next 5 to 10 years, the way we think about supporting advisor is going to look very different. So first and foremost, I see, as Jalpa said, AI is playing a central role these days. And in the coming future also, not just as a back-end engine, but as a real-time guide for advisors. I can imagine smart system that will offer content suggestion, compliance cues, or client insight right in the moment. Maybe during a call, a meeting, or even while drafting an email, we will get these suggestions and get these insights on the go. And that's where we are going to head. And so this means that we will move away from enablement being something delivered through periodic training or workshops. Instead of that, it will become dynamic and in flow, learning and guidance embedded seamlessly into daily workflows. I also think that the convergence of content, data, compliance, and coaching will accelerate. Right now, these areas often sit in different corners of the organization, but in the future, they will work together to create a unified and adaptive advisor experience.
Yes, I think that's a trend that we're seeing as well, that really AI is embedding within the workflow. So we're effectively meeting folks where they are on their journeys within the working environment. We talk so much about the client journey, but I think that, you know, there's a parallel conversation around the employee journey. And I think enablement, as you rightly say, what we're seeing with the customers that we work with is that enablement has quite a strong role to play there.
Yeah. And ultimately, I think enablement will no longer be a support function. It will be a core part of any firm's digital transformation strategy, and which will directly shape advisor performance, client satisfaction, and firm growth.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Jalpa, any final thoughts?
I agree with what Deepika is saying. Enablement is definitely not going to be a support function. It would be a key driver, which would be hand in hand with AI to make huge strides for sales and marketing in the right direction to give our clients the right client experience. Whether it's technology, whether it's processes, whether it's training, using platforms like Seismic Learning, using things like meeting prep for help with the meeting preps, help with surfacing the right content in the right place on our website, any sort of touch points that our client would have with us, having enablement strategy to drive the use of AI in the correct form. That's the future I'm looking at.
So, Rachel, I've absolutely loved this conversation. Any final thoughts from you on where you see the future of enablement going?
I thought at the beginning it would be very interesting, and it's turned out to be. Yes, I think that some of the things, obviously, that you're talking about are things that are already with us. And I think that we can do quite a lot of that already. I think the challenges around organizational structure and organizations moving at the same pace. I think that you said, I think it was Jalpa, you said earlier about technology outpacing the pace of change in the industry. And I think that is probably the kind of the hurdle, if you like, to progress. But things are moving quite fast, and it'll be interesting to revisit this conversation maybe in a year's time and see where things stand then. But for the moment, Jalpa, Deepika, I'd really like to thank you both for such a rich conversation. You've really helped frame enablement both as a strategic necessity and as a competitive advantage.
Completely agree, Rachel. It's been a fantastic conversation, and I think our listeners will agree that now they know that enablement is the way to modernise firms for the future. So thank you for tuning into Seismic Sessions, and hope to have you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Seismic Sessions, enabling the financial services industry. Don't forget to like and subscribe to stay up to date with the latest opinions on all things revenue enablement within the financial sector.